Welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Miss Lelo B and I'm with my co-host.
Hi, guys. How are you?
That's Kia, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I forgot my name.
And I'm Lyson.
Welcome, guys. It's been a while.
Has it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been...
You didn't come and record last week.
Yes,
we didn't.
But
sorry,
it was not our fault. It was Rob's fault.
Yes, it wasn't our fault, guys.
You didn't upload our episode.
Yes. And there was also like a long weekend somewhere, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We had the long weekend as well.
We can record on a long weekend, so let's not.
Exactly.
Anyway, guys.
Boss Chica is out here.
Like, hey.
Don't be late.
All right. So it's time for us to do KYC. But, Abkia, apparently we have a guest later on, right?
Oh, yes, we do. And we're actually going to be talking about social media and your career. So
keep it locked. Okay, so back to KYC, Know Your Continent.
Yes.
So this country in West Africa,
right?
That's a big tip. I've never told you where in Africa.
Never told us where, yes,
because I know you're going to get this one wrong. Yeah. So the women in this country are not allowed to smoke or drink.
Okay.
The women and the men in this country are not allowed to look, to have like, to like eye contact in public.
Okay.
The official language is French.
It's a Muslim country.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a French and Muslim. Why?
I was thinking, and also the eye contact.
The population is about 21 million people, and it is the 21st largest country in the world, in terms of land area. And then a poverty rate of 44.1%, guys. It's one of the poorest countries in the world and in the continent. Anything?
West Africa.
They've also had these terrorist attacks and drug trafficking.
Yes.
In their north regions. France has committed to providing 200 million euros in aid over the next 5 years to combat poverty.
Sierra Leone?
No.
Liberia?
No.
And where is Cote d'Ivoire? Where is Cote d'Ivoire?
Cote d'Ivoire is...
It's not Cote d'Ivoire. Yeah. I think we haven't done Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah.
It is named after a river.
Niger!
Well done, Lyson. That took a while.
It's not about the win, it's about the how.
As long as I'm high on the leaderboard.
And it's not Niger, guys. It's not Niger.
I used to grow up saying Niger, and then I grew up and started saying Niger.
Yeah, I know. It's better. Like, I actually had one person who did like the N word. Who called it the N-word?
Oh, no.
Which was, I was just like, are you serious? Yeah, it was,
okay. That was it for KYC. So, Kia, what are we talking about in Office Politics today?
Office Politics today, we're going to refer to, you know, one of the articles that I actually wrote for Chica in 2016, 17, with regards to social media and your career and the law itself. So, social media is growing, and so are our careers as well. But the law is also picking up on these trends, on our social media use. And like last week we spoke to, or last week's episode was speaking to Nombu about the recruitment process. And she actually mentioned that companies do actually do social media checks when they do criminal checks and credit checks. So we wanted to give you guys some tips and speak to an expert or someone who actually understands how social media and the law works so that you guys aren't reckless online. So we're chatting to Zandi today and we're going to chat to her in Office Politics and hear what she has to say.
Awesome. So we'll get into Office Politics right after this. Welcome back. So we have a guest now, Kia, who is our guest.
Yes, guys. So, like we mentioned earlier on, we're doing a bit of a continuation from last week's conversation with regards to recruitment. And today we have Uzandi Matondo, who is an attorney and also the director at Trudor Kraus I think it's Wiggle Inc.
Yes.
Did I get that right? I hope I did.
Yes.
Law firm in the West Rand. She obtained her LLB in 2012 at the University of Johannesburg, and she's also part of Rainbow FM, assisting listeners with their legal challenges. Welcome to the Office Podcast, Sandy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, we have a lawyer, guys.
Exactly. Exactly.
Put some respect.
Exactly.
A black female.
No, exactly. Bogodo.
Yeah. Welcome.
Just as a listener, I'm going to be not too bad on the eyes.
Yes. We are so, so lucky.
We are.
Guys, thank you for coming up, Zandi. So, Zandi, before we get into the topic, because it's quite a juicy one, and I think we're going to have fun with this one, please tell us a bit about who Zandi is before, you know, just to break the ice for us.
Okay, so like you mentioned, I am a young female director at Trudel Krause. I'm also a founder for a non-profit that's called Mansa.
What does Mansa do?
Mansa is a, we do everything from social engagements. There's four partners in it. We have a community engagements person, we have a policy person, we have a communications person, and then I'm the legal.
Okay, cool. So you seem to want to do a lot of community work. So why did you choose law, of all things? Like, why did you choose to go do LLB? You could have done anything else.
I've been making business cards, I think, since I was 12. I've always wanted to be to be an attorney, okay, to have the superhero swoop in.
Oh, business cards for yourself.
Yes.
Oh, right, exactly.
No, for myself. And I've always, that's always what I've pictured myself being. So helping people is my main thing, because I think in our first year the lecturer told us, if you're in this for the money, you're in the wrong business.
Yes, absolutely. Really, guys? But you guys, are you guys not the highest paid
lawyers? No.
Really?
No.
Ouch. Okay. You have to be like a, what's the other one? What?
Advocates
to make,
oh,
then you write then your own check.
Oh, yes, damn. Yes. Okay, that's interesting. Yes. So that one last interesting question. So what has been like your toughest case or your most interesting case? You're not to mention names, no companies, no names, but if you could give us a bit of a scenario, a quick scenario.
Can I be a Debbie Downer? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So my thing is helping people and all of that. So I had a client come in, and her husband was actually the one that had filed for divorce or was applying for a divorce. And then she still wanted him. They were married in community of property. And she'd go like every week to go visit her dogs. She missed them and whatnot. And then, so I'm like geared up because it's a high court matter. And I'm like, I got this. And then 2 months down the line, I'm busy prepping papers and stuff, briefing counsel. And then I found out she went back to her husband. And then 2 weeks after that, she passed away.
What?
Because he was abusive.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was actually a very depressing story. But thank you, Zandi, for letting us know how things go on your side. I hope you guys actually get some psychological assistance with regards to that. But the reason why we chose this topic, guys, is that in 2016, I did an article for Chica on with regards to social media and your career. And I think it's one of the topics that we need to constantly think about and talk about, because everyone is, you know, at risk of losing their job or not getting a job because, like last week Nombu mentioned, they do social media checks. So companies do social media checks. So we wanted to help you guys out a bit, right? And we've seen so many employees getting backlash on social media. I've got some case studies as well that we're going to chat about today. And wanted to, with what seemed like innocent tweets or posts or tags or RTs. So let's break it down today with the legal expert. And if you have any further questions after this podcast, guys, please do use the hashtag hashtag the Office Podcast, and we can get the legal expert to also answer your questions. So first question that for me I think sets the tone is, do social media laws actually apply in South Africa? Because I know that it applies in the States and other countries, but you rarely hear about it in South Africa. Do they actually apply?
Unfortunately, we don't have a law that speaks to social media specifically or explicitly. So what we then have to do is we touch on a separate other laws that we fall back on, like the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act and POPI and all of that. And then that's how we then have to move on with social media, because unfortunately we are far behind the rest of the first world countries.
So that's interesting, because then how much weight or how much or how solid are company policies? Because a lot of companies are now developing social media policies, and it's through those very policies that they can use to sort of say, well, you've contravened this policy and therefore you will be dismissed. So how much weight do social company policies actually hold, or how strong are they against an employee who should be in trouble?
Well, unfortunately, most of the acts or legislation surrounding social media or electronic communications is slightly skewed towards the employer than benefiting the employee. So what will then happen in the workplace is that the employer will put in place social media policies, but as employees who hardly ever check, you just check how much you're going to earn and then that's it. And then you sign everything. And then when that social media policy is used against you, and you're like, but I was in my private space. But
that's tricky, guys, because don't social media policies come when you go into, or policies in general, get exposed, or don't you get exposed to those when you actually at induction after you sign the contract and everything, yeah, right? So I wouldn't have had sight of it necessarily prior to signing. I don't know. And if I haven't been in the job market for a while, so I don't know.
No, that is true. That is true. Yeah. But I mean, you don't, I think the thing is, you don't even ask about it.
Yes.
You don't even ask about it.
You don't ask
it
for clarification.
All you're asking about is, you, how much are you going to earn, and that's it. So I think,
so should that be a question then in our interviews?
If you know you are reckless on social media, then maybe you should be asking.
I wouldn't have thought of that as a question, actually. So those, the reckless,
it really just depends how important is it in to you that, for example, let's say there's a lots of people right now are like social media influencers and all of that. So for if I'm a social media influencer and I'm applying for a corporate job, I would ask, do you allow people to get involved in other things, all of that, and
do
get
I have
paid
a life?
For it, because it's additional. So in that regard, yes, I would do that. But other than that, it shouldn't really be a big thing. I guess you could also, like, once you're in the company, just make yourself familiar with whatever the policy is, if you know that you are very active on social media.
Shucks. Okay, that was an eye opener.
Do you need to delete a few?
It sounds like she does.
But but apparently you can't. So apparently, if the tweet, if the tweet is there in less than 30 minutes and you've deleted it, 30 minutes before, or if it's been there for less than 30 minutes, actually, that is the correct English. If it's been there for less than 30 minutes, then it can be completely deleted from,
the intersphere.
Anything after 30 minutes, it will remain, because you could delete, but it will still exist in the
cloud.
Besides the screenshots, Twitter itself still archives it, even though you deleted it off your timeline.
Yeah, so they would have to really dig deep and get Twitter to give them the records.
Yeah,
because then it goes back to my next question. But then, do you want to say something?
Yeah, no, I was saying that it's then that's like too much work for them to do to like recover those tweets. You know, they can always recover lost data, but unless if you're a CEO and they really need to nitpick everything. But I don't think like for everybody else they would like go to that lens.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because people like, I think Kevin Hart have had issues where stuff that was dated, I don't know, 2012 is now being brought back to light to say, oh, but you said this in 2012.
And he apologized for it in 2012.
Why didn't he delete the tweets to show how sorry he was?
Maybe I think he did. But you know that issue of...
No, he didn't.
Oh, there wasn't that screen munch thing, the thing that we had on BlackBerry.
Because people change, evolve. I'm not the same person I was in 2012, people.
But I guess companies don't see it that way, or people overall just don't see it that way, because they're always reminding you of something that you said ages ago, yet you just turned. But then it comes back to my next question, actually, is do you know how they're actually able to trace? So if a company or an organization wanted to trace my social media page, how would they actually have access to it?
Well, I know a lot of new employers, well, not new employers, but a lot of tech-savvy employers ask for your consent to look through your social media before hiring you. And if you sign that consent, then they can go through your pages. If your social media is open, then they can go through it anyway. And they might not even tell you this is the reason that we're not hiring you, because they were looking at your social media without the necessary consent. So they don't necessarily will tell you. It's not legal, but it's, if you can't prove the crime, then they'll just tell you, no, sorry, we've declined your application.
And I think also something to note, if you are going through a recruitment agency, for example, I think it might actually be even for internal processes, but there's a line at the bottom of these forms that you sign at recruitment agencies that they make you sign. And I think I've noticed a lot of people don't actually read the fine print of those forms, because you get told, oh no, you're going to need to sign this page, and then you're going to need to, so that we can do the checks, you know, criminal checks, whatever. But just check, because again, I haven't been in the job market for long, so I don't know what it actually looks like. But at the bottom, usually it should have a clause that says you're giving them the right to have access to certain parts of your life. So I think as a job seeker, just be careful when you do sign that. And if you have any questions, ask the recruiter or the person hiring or whatever to clarify for you, because I think that's where we lose it a lot. We don't check.
The thing about it, even if it says that we are going to check your social media, are you going to say no?
Nobody's going to say no.
You want the job. So you're going to say yes. You're going to sign in any case.
Yeah.
So the only thing is, if you see it, I guess, then go and clean up your page or make it private. Yes. They can't force you to
unprivatize it.
They can't force you to do that.
Yeah.
And Lelo has touched on one important thing. I think there is something to be said about your page, the access to your page.
Mm.
And I know with Twitter, there isn't really that much that you can do in terms of privacy, except you can block people from retweeting your tweets. People can only reply and stuff like that. But with your Facebook, you can actually filter stuff that you want people to see and things that you don't want people to see. And I think that's one important thing, that if you are trying to hide something or if you want to block something out, you need to be quite well versed with that.
And I like that you touched on that, because it leads to the next part or the next question.
Mm.
Because the one debate we're constantly having... and it's obviously, it varies from social media app to social media app. Mm-hmm. So with Facebook, for example, if someone has tagged me in a post, are there legal implications? Because if I go and I defame Lelo and I tell Lelo, oh yeah, tag Lelo at Lelo Boyana, stole my iPhone when we were recording the podcast, and she didn't do it, but I've gone and accused her of it. And then she goes and she, you know, lays a charge. For the mere fact that I've gone and I've tagged Lighten as well, and I've tagged Uzandi as well. Although they didn't say anything, I posted everything, but I tagged them because they were there, and I've just tagged them in the post. Are there legal implications to that?
Yes, there are legal implications to that. So there's legal implications to tagging, sharing, and being an association. There's a word that's called chain of production. So if you then... posted about Lelo, and then I see it, and I'm a frequent flyer on Facebook, let's say, and then I leave it there. I see that I'm tagged, and I allow you on my timeline, like you were saying. I haven't closed that part, and I allow it onto my timeline. And in essence, I have agreed to what you are saying. I have condoned what you're saying, and I'm in agreement with what you're saying. So there's actually a case where a new wife tagged the ex-husband of a lady and talked about the ex-wife. And she went on, and then the ex-wife brought a defamation claim against against the new wife and the ex-husband. And the court ruled that because what the new wife had done was that she had just tagged the husband. So he didn't say anything. He wasn't a party to this, but he was tagged, and then he didn't untag himself or comment and say, listen, and disassociate himself from what was happening. So then the court held that because he hadn't untagged himself, he hadn't disassociated himself, the ruling was against the new wife and him for damages for defamation. Because now defamation used to be a difficult thing to prove, because you'd need, one of the elements of defamation is that it must be said in a public space, there must be publication. So now with social media, that's with followers, before you'd have to put it in a newspaper that, you know, I hate whoever, but now it's so easy to have a public space, or to for it to be in a public domain, and for you to face defamation charges against you. So again, there is no social media specific law, but we can always fall back onto things like defamation on the law that we already have and define it in terms of that.
Oh my gosh. So
may I please just add on to what Sandy was saying? And just to simplify it, I think you say something about the term chain of
production,
yes, chain of production. So basically what happens, especially on Twitter and on Facebook, is that when you tag me and stuff comes on my timeline, on my wall, I, let's say you tag three people that I have nothing to do with, and each of them have got like 10,000 followers each, that means that the followers get to see, not everybody might get to see, but you can understand how the chain of production is. So now instead of it staying between your people, it's staying with our people. And if somebody else like shares that, then the ripple effect goes on and on and on.
Because I mean, you look at a tweet, and luckily, for example, Twitter actually gives you access to that information without even having to use a separate app or anything, and it tells you what activity your tweet has done. So I mean, in an hour, you could literally have 14,000 impressions over something because of linkages. I might literally have 200 followers, but my tweet can go as so far that you don't even realize that it actually so many eyes have seen this. And that's why a lot of people are always on the case of, oh no, a retweet is just me sharing so that everyone else can see what I'm seeing. They're not aware of the fact that actually you are endorsing, you're associating yourself, and therefore should someone actually come up,
defamation,
you know, claims. It's a defamation claim. So guys, I think this one is one big one that people don't really realize, and we're constantly talking about and re-emphasizing, so we're going to emphasize it again, that a retweet is you taking ownership of the actual content. So just be careful when you are sharing stuff, because if you're going to drag a company, if you're going to drag a brand, and you're going to be RTing, then chances are they're going to look, and chances are they're going to find you, and you really don't want that messy stuff on your timeline. So that was an interesting one. And the Facebook one as well, I think, was also an interesting point, the tagging and the privacy settings, and because then basically it falls back on us. I can't. But what if I say Lighten hacked my Facebook or something, or if I say,
I think your response needs to be a response that everybody sees. You cannot say your response after the fact.
Okay. So what the courts will do, just to answer and clarify what you're saying, is that what the courts will look at is, remember, it shows you how often you've been on Facebook, and then you can't come and say, oh, I've been hacked, when you were on Facebook 5 minutes ago and you didn't see it. And then it will look at, okay, do you have anything to do? Like if someone tags me from whatever company and I've got nothing to do, I don't have any associations with them, I've never met with them, then obviously it's a hack.
Yes.
I don't want to mention any sunglass people. But yes, there is that one on Facebook where people get hacked and then it says like 100 people tagged on it selling certain sunglasses.
Oh my goodness. But then I wonder, so if the law is so protective of defaming and all of that, so what rights do I have as a potential employee or an employee? So, what rights do I have as an employee? So should I go into an organization and then they want my social media pages? Because I can easily claim
Why would they want your social media pages?
I don't know. Maybe you've said something. So maybe I've tweeted something that shouldn't be said, and then a colleague has spotted it and has shared it.
Then they must go and do their research or investigation. Why do they need to ask?
And then what happens there? Because obviously, if they're going to do the investigations and the research, then it's going to obviously have to come to me, because I need to know that you're investigating me, right? You can't just
they don't have to know. They can investigate unless they need to suspend you. Unless they suspend you for them to do the investigation, then you will know. But they could investigate you without telling you, and then only come to you when they've got the facts.
Oh, guys, That sucks. Because it makes you stop, vulnerable.
I feel like people must just be responsible. Exactly. Stop tweeting or posting.
Or retweeting.
Things that make you want to hide your handle. That's it. Just know that if you've got a 9-to-5 in a corporate or whatever, you could get into trouble. So if you don't trust yourself, don't be on social media. But otherwise, just be there. Just don't get involved. Just read. I think just read your social, your company's social media policy. What are you not allowed to do? What can you do? What could you get into trouble for? So that you can know how to.
So,
on that note, do you mind if I interject?
No, go ahead.
Zandi, I would like to know, what are the parameters, let's say if I have a Twitter page, but I don't use my name, nor my likeness, and unless you know me, you know who I am. Is that treated differently?
Yes, it definitely is. Because remember, you've now gone on and used a ghost account. I think that's the word for it. But then where your privacy won't be, let's say, observed or adhered to, is that if you say something that amounts to hate speech, if it's like a racial slur, then Twitter or whoever will be obliged to give your actual identity. I think that's where,
Man's advocate.
That one. And then they got into trouble because it was like, I think 5 or 6 people that were using the Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. But when they became like, not nice on social platforms, then that's when their identities were then revealed.
Mm. Okay.
So just, even if you're using a ghost account, don't be mean. Don't be a cyber bully or be responsible with your tweets. Just maybe you want to be different to who you really are. Mm. But don't be mean.
Great. Haters, listen.
Are you using a ghost account?
No, I'm not. But I just try not to share much of myself.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, that's fair. And then also, a few years ago, someone that we all know, Mackintosh Poleli, who was the spokesperson for the Hawks, he got fired after the Jupjup trial for making a statement, a very reckless statement. And then, obviously, it wasn't confirmed at that time, because it obviously wasn't watertight. The social media stuff wasn't watertight then, but it wasn't confirmed that he was fired. But, I mean, it was too much of a coincidence that he was then suspended after the whole tweet thing. But what was funny is that on his profile, he had a disclaimer. He had a disclaimer that said that the tweets or his tweets are in his personal capacity and they do not represent the views of. But everyone already knows that he works for the Hawks. So that's another thing that I think I see a lot on social media are the disclaimers. And how much weight do the disclaimers hold? And should we even be putting the disclaimers on there? Because then will I win if I'm in trouble? What's the...
With disclaimers, I would say rather do it than not, because it mitigates your case. So if you have a defamation claim against you, at least you tried and said, you know what, I'm separating who I am and what I'm saying in my corporate world to my personal world. And those lines can get very blurred depending on what you do in your corporate world and your personal life. But like we mentioned before, don't be mean. Don't be reckless on social media. I think as a rule of thumb, people should then not say something on social media platforms that they wouldn't say face to face to someone. Don't hide behind a screen and then expect the law to come and save you based on a constitutional right or something like that.
So will the disclaimer save me? So I hear you saying that it's best to have it. But is it watertight?
No, it's not watertight at all. But it will mitigate. So you will. What mitigation is like? Okay, I've done this, but at least I did this.
Okay, got it.
So I'm not as guilty, but I'm guilty of doing it. But can you at least add? Yes. Can you understand how I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. So it will mitigate what your case will be defamation or whatever, but at least you try to put that separation there.
So this is in the case where it is an employer versus employee situation. In any other situation outside of employee versus employer, does it work still?
No, it still doesn't. See, because you can say, look, this is... my disclaimer, these are my views and whatnot, but it, depending on who you are. So now you're a minister of whoever, you know, that minister that likes tweeting.
Yes.
And then... And then if it's him that's tweeting and then he's got a disclaimer, but in his office... As a minister, you can't really separate him and his personal life and his, because we're expecting and certain things from him.
Exactly, and you've also even put on your bio that Minister of Transport.
Exactly,
and then you use that same account to tweet official work stuff.
Yes,
and then. Okay, sorry, Mbax, we're not talking about you. Just and then you also use the same account to defame people and use
racial slurs. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's actually like
then you say it's my views.
But you can't. You can't, because then how do we know when it's yours and not yours?
Shucks,
so rather just stick to either you use it as an official thing or a personal thing. Obviously, we're not saying people must not make jokes or whatever, but it's just
It's just one of those things.
And then what happens in the case when roles are reversed? Like, let's say I used to work for the independent newspaper, and we know what went down with the Guptas and everything in that situation. And I am going to apply for a job. I know this might not be like a social media-esque question, but then there's that relation that because I was working there, does it mean that you necessarily co-signed with everything?
No, I don't think so. I think they will look, if they're good employers, they will look at you independently.
Okay.
I don't think it can be held against you because, well, if you're involved in a few things, then they can be held against you. But if you were just the guy on the floor and you didn't even know what was happening, I mean, you just got your paycheck at the end of the month and you did your job to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
So then they can't hold that against you. I don't think that would be good PR or HR tactics.
Mm. Shucks. You know, guys, I think just to play it safe, Google yourself every now and then. So go like, go incognito. Oh, that's, I do that regularly. Like, I just Google myself because I just want to see what associations there are to me, because even our tweets, you know, pop up on Google.
Google
searches. And sometimes it's just not a good look.
And one important thing that people overlook is that there is a direct correlation between social media and SEO. And the more you play on social media, the more your Google searches come up with stuff that you put on social media. Especially if they have so much traction on social. That will come up on the... on the search engines. So be careful.
Be careful. Well, so that was insightful. But also, I think I actually want to have the Puppy Act. Is there any way that the Puppy Act can actually protect us from getting in trouble in the workplace?
Yes, but again, like I said, it's more skewed to the employer because it protects, I think it protects the employer more than the employee, because you're sitting there and... You have, well, let me say I'm the employer and I give my employee a very high profile case to do, and then they go and tweet about it. So then that client can come against my company and say, listen, your employee in course and scope of their employment tweeted this, and they can use Puppy against the whole business. And then I can then dismiss my employee based on infringing provisions in the employment contract regarding non-disclosures and Puppy, because it's electronic data.
Yes. And bringing the company into disrepute.
Yes.
Exactly.
And the doctors are doing that a lot.
We're losing clients because we are busy now.
And doctors do that quite a lot these days. I saw a doctor during the week. Yeah, doctors, like medical doctors.
Oh, you mean tweet on about
this client. Other doctor tweeted, took a picture of the patient, obviously, on a stretcher, or whatever it's called, on a bed in the hospital. Then I should have actually taken a screenshot of that. And then took, so obviously, you know, the patient's nails were looking some other way, you know. I say some other way because some other way to her, because obviously her nails look good to her. That's why they are the way they are. But they look some other way to the doctor, and the doctor takes a picture of this, and she captions it, "Oh, you know, I had to steal a picture of my patient. Look at the nails. When's the galani la or something?
Health
like
professions
that.
Council. I would go extra and just go and report. No, seriously, they're not
like
allowed.
Like yeah, really and then so unprofessional.
Exactly.
So doctor patient's confidentiality.
And just respect, yeah, and common respect,
just respect, common respect and ethics. I think we also lack ethics a lot in what we do. Because sure. I can't imagine what would happen to me if I posted anything about my clients, because I'm in client services. Mm-hmm. So if I can't imagine posting anything, you just have to keep quiet. And if anyone, and I've come across situations where someone would ask me something about a specific topic related to potentially a client or the industry that I'm working in, and they don't know that I'm actually linked to that company in some way or the other. And if anyone ever asks me anything, I literally just say, you know what, I don't have the range to participate in this conversation. Can I rather not comment? Or I just keep quiet and I don't respond because I don't want to be found to be saying anything because I don't know who's watching. Yeah. Clients will be watching.
Exactly.
There's actually like this businessman from, I don't know, somewhere in Africa that was on a plane. So he travels, he doesn't travel first class all the time, he travels coach just to hear what general people on the street, because he's got a listed company in the New York Stock Exchange. So he's quite big, you know. I think he's in the top 10, which is men in Africa. So he travels coach just to, you know, get a feel for what's happening in general population
down there.
And then he was going for a merger. I think it was in Nigeria. He was going for a merger there, some business deal. And then he heard these two guys talking about it, because in his company he's got a strict policy on discussing anything business related anywhere outside the company. And then these two people were discussing this merger, right? And they were going on because you always think, no one knows me or no one gets me or what I'm talking about. And you're just talking to whoever you're talking to. And then as soon as the plane landed, he used the information that he got from these two guys to outbid his competitor. So he's like, guys, you need to watch yourself, because he made lots of money from just these two low-ranking employees, but they had vital information. There's even a lady that was on, she was a candidate attorney. So she tweeted a picture of herself in her office, and then in the background, there was a certain merger that was happening. And it was like hush hush. I don't want to say which one.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And then she's like, for that word.
Oh my gosh.
That company has a strict social media, and she was fired.
Guys. So even when you're taking selfies, just check what's behind you, what's there, what's
go to the reception area or something, because
some companies don't even want you to associate your personal life with their work life. Don't pose on their logo. Don't use their logo on your personal pages. Nothing.
Don't use their tagline.
Yes, nothing.
Don't even answer. So that even with the customer facing brands, don't respond on behalf if you have not been because I know I used to work for a brand, a popular brand. And I would get so hacked at how people would spell it on social media. I would have the urge to be like, no, actually, it's a capital there and a capital there and a small letter there. Because it's stuff that I worked with every single day. But I was not assigned social media manager or social media. I couldn't be the one. It's not my job. So don't get involved, guys. And also, I see people tend to itch when they see that the companies, I know that you love your companies.
So, Zandi, I just wanted to ask you before we wrap up, because we have to kind of wrap up. Famous last sort of parting last tips to people who love social media, obsessed, always on there, and but yet they have 9-to-5s. But what would be your key things that you have to make sure you comply with?
I think to them, I would say read everything. I mean, don't just sign things. If you're a frequent flyer on social platforms, read everything. Read, keep up to date with even the social platforms. Like Lighten was saying, you know, mm-hmm. you if you're gonna let someone tag you, then have the authority to allow that tag onto your timeline. Mm. You know, keep abreast with whatever's happening in your field, in your workplace,
yeah,
and in what's happening in your social platforms. I mean, reading, it's not hard, guys, mm, because you'd rather do that than cost your life and your livelihood, because we're ultimately all brands.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah, respect your brand. Mm. Love your brand. Protect your brand.
Sure.
And don't mess with your money.
Don't mess
with your money, honey.
Your 9 to 5. Your 9 to 5 is where your money is at. Yeah. Don't mess with your money. Mm.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It was an insightful chat. I hope we've managed to help everyone out there who's addicted to social media and still have jobs or looking for jobs. So, guys, mm-hmm, let's adhere to the simple and the basics.
Do you use social media, Sandy?
I do, but very rarely. But that's because it's not mainly my focal point, and I'm a very private person. Okay. Like, she couldn't even find anything on me.
I couldn't, so I had to ask her.
I do, but I check, double check everything, and you don't even know. I'm like FBI type of secret, like, yeah. No, but I think I have to, because I talk a lot. Like you can notice, I have the gift of the gab.
Yeah.
But but I have to then limit myself, because even if I feel some kind of way as a person, I can't necessarily tweet about it, or
because it's going to be linked to your company.
Yeah. Yes, because now. Sure. Don't mess with your money.
Mm. Exactly. Okay, well, that's good advice.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
It was lovely being here.
I'm so thirsty.
Have me back for anything. I do all types of law. Yeah.
Okay, girl. Resident lawyer. We can make up.
No, we will definitely take you up on that. Thank you so much.
Divorce, all that.
Ooh, girl.
Lighten will need you for his
upcoming for my upcoming divorce.
Thanks so much. But thank you guys for having me.
Awesome, Lighten. What have we got?
So, guys, welcome to Tea Time. Mm-hmm. Another round of Tea Time. So, I want to start it off with, like, on a positive note. So, we're celebrating our girls this evening. Well, today's show. Sorry. At least now you know when we record the show. Yeah. So, but yes, so we're celebrating our girls, and first up is Ashoma Josie. She just won her Best International Act Newcomer, right?
Wow.
Best Newcomer International Act category.
Well done, girl.
Well done to Ashoma Josie. I think, like, she's, you know, I think her win bears witness to why it's important for you to be authentic.
Yes.
Wait, what did she win? Did she win Newcomer or Best International?
Best International Newcomer. Because Burna Boy won Best International.
Where AKA was also...
Because I wanted to ask about AKA, and I'm like, no, but AKA can be Newcomer.
Newcomer.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think it's also a shout-out for, you know, the cultural group that she comes from, because they've always been... The Tonga group has always been... been a mock, or, you know, made jokes of with people, and we're constantly saying things, derogatory things like, "Ay, yonkinto e wrong, amashangan, yonkinto amashangan," you know. But she came onto the scene and
she elevated the culture.
Look, she's influential.
She is. And how she just made, you know, being Tsonga, is it Tsonga or Shangan?
Tsonga.
Like, super cool.
Exactly.
So well done to her.
I also loved what she said. And this is what she said after she won.
I guess for me, my story is a testament that you can be from any village in any forgotten part of the world, and you can still be a superstar. And, like, for the girls that come from where I'm from, which is Limpopo, I just want to say, you don't have to change who you are, and you can still be big.
Wow, that was quite, you know, quite refreshing. It actually takes me back to when Lupita Nyong'o won her Oscar, when she said, "Your dreams are valid." So, guys, take that and go. Your dreams are valid, no matter where you're from.
Yeah, yes. But why were people acting like they had "Your dreams are valid" for the first time when Lupita said it?
I guess it just...
Because it just rang true.
I was so overwhelmed because it's almost like that movie that Lupita was in.
Yes.
What was Sophia it called?
The Slayer.
Yes. Yo, the way we like, yo, this movie must be amazing, and then you watch the movie like, is that it?
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry.
Unless like maybe Lupita,
yeah, your dreams are valid, guys.
Yeah. Unless maybe it was maybe they speak to the colorism issue or the, because you know how in the industries it's always said that the lights, the lelos of the world in the industries are always
the Shoma Josies,
and the Shoma Josies are, you know, way ahead of everyone else, and then the dark skin, because yeah, so I think maybe it might be that.
Yeah, okay, I won't raise it here because I don't want to take away from Shoma Josie's shine. But yeah. I love that girl. I love her energy.
I love her energy. She's good.
Yeah. I'm actually getting a Chibelani.
Yeah, oh, bro.
Yes, yes. Girl. And I hope I find me a Tsonga prince.
Girl. Let's find Kia a Tsonga prince, guys. Okay, moving swiftly along. Another girl that we're celebrating today is Umini Dlamini. She launched her MD skin today, skincare, skincare line today. Available at
Clicks,
yes. I was trying to find out from Lelo if we can actually say Clicks, but it is
available
at Clicks. Yes, it is available at Clicks, and I'm so happy for her because I think she's getting into that. You know, actually, let me dial back. Yes. What I like about Mini Dlamini, Mini Dlamini is one of the quotes unquote it girls who came and redefined her path in the entertainment industry. You know, like in the world of, like, you know, your girl bees and your queens and whatnot, she actually managed to go, like, you know, the unpopular route for females, especially like very attractive females, to spot, and then, you know, she continues to, like, pave her own path, and
yeah,
it's so good to see. You know, I know that, like, you know, people like Conor Ferguson have laid the ground that she walks on, but then it's quite nice that to see, you know, people come up with their own products, and it looks great. Like, I was like, when I saw it,
the packaging,
you know,
is amazing.
Exactly. When I saw it, I actually wanted
is nice.
I was just like, how is it gonna look like? But it looks really clean. It looks fresh, and I don't know. For me, Minnie is one of those people that I believe she comes across as a very genuine person, like the girl next door, someone that you can, you know, you can believe. So kudos to her. And
the prices, guys.
And the prices,
like,
are good.
It's ranging from 13 rand
to 39.99.
Oh, she's in the right target.
Right target, because
right target.
Everybody
can have access to it.
To have access to it. And if, like she said, if you want to look good, smell good, be clean and be fresh, you know.
Oh, that's
get
nice.
Into that. Yeah.
That's nice. Like, look, I'm glad that this has finally happened, especially after the IDC saga. Yes. She's come up from that. So, well done. So there was an IDC saga a while ago, or I think it was like last year or something, where she, where it was not confirmed that she got the funding through the IDC, and then she had already announced that she got the funding, and. So look, well done to Umini. I actually wasn't aware to show you guys that I actually wasn't on social media much today.
Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Well done.
I'm actually gonna buy it, and I'm gonna try it. I like trying stuff out. Not for my face though, but I like trying stuff out.
No,
I'm
think
gonna
it's
buy
body
it.
And what is this?
Body lotion, yeah, and shower gel.
Body wash
stuff.
And body lotion. Perfect.
Lotion, yeah, exactly.
No, definitely will support.
Definitely.
Mother's Day gifts. Woo!
Exactly, Mother's Day gifts.
Even your father.
And I actually, do you know what I like about MD? I know it stands for Mini Dlamini, but what I loved about it, there's something that sounds very medical about it.
MD and really I like that. Yes.
For me, it's like a slight cognitive thing just made me think, like, oh, that means, like, it's tested by doctors. And, like,
nice.
It already comes
beautiful.
As, like, you know.
Really
nice. Well done, girl.
Well done, Mini Dlamini.
Awesome.
Jones.
Oh, yes,
we are proud of you. Then moving along to another person. Do you know, I really love this particular person that I'm going to talk to you about next, and another girl that we're going to celebrate. I really love her. It's one of those people that I actually would like to meet.
Who's this?
It's Terry Petto.
Oh.
Does Terry live in South Africa?
Yes.
Terry is
she
global,
does, but
darling.
She's like making moves all over the world.
Yeah, she's superb.
And do you know, before we get into celebrating with Terry Petto, do you know what I think I appreciate about Terry? Terry is one of those people, she never makes noise.
Yeah.
Her work speaks.
Look, I didn't even know that she lives here.
Yeah, like, I don't. You never hear her say anything about, she just announces things.
So, Lighten.
Yes.
I'm going to send you what she sent me. She sent me a DM on Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm gonna get you to read what she says. What she said to me. Read from here.
Okay.
Just this part.
Perfect.
Are you gonna read it on air?
Yeah, you can read it.
Oh, is the one in?
Yes.
In my head, you're my best friend. That's my secret, not yours.
So don't
That's
worry.
So cute.
So she's super cool. So don't worry, Lighten. I'll get you to meet her one day.
Yes, please. And I feel like I'm already close because I'm like in close proximity with her best friend.
Yeah.
Like you know how Rihanna is our best friend.
Exactly.
So what happens? What happens to Terry?
So Terry has been picked as a face of the lingerie. Exactly. I think I pronounced it right because I researched. I had to hear a French lady say it a couple of times because I was like,
"Is it a French brand?"
Yes, it is. It is a French brand. It is. I think they are in Switzerland, but then it is French speaking territory. So yeah, she is one of the faces of the record collection, and it's a big deal. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And you know, she's up there with. Kate Winslet and Simon Becker, who are some of the faces for the elegant.
Okay, I didn't know the extent. The extent of
how
it. So
big
this
it
is amazing.
Yes, this is a big thing, and this is not the first time she has done. She did have a deal with them before, but I think
I
this is like a bigger contract, a bigger ambassadorship.
I'm seeing prices here from 599, there's 26,600, 7,000, 15,000. So like those are the prices we're talking.
Exactly.
Okay. Well done to Terry, man.
Well done to Terry, and thank you for always flying the flag high.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Also showing that no matter where you're from.
Mm-hmm. But you know that you are right. I think someone mentioned it, that like how she's always keeping hush hush, and then she just that's the one thing I like about her. She doesn't she doesn't get involved in this and this. Yeah. You just see her launch this movie out.
Yeah, exactly. And no one comes for her because she doesn't she doesn't call for anyone. Yeah.
Not at all.
Because even like for me, and I like how she has grown her career from Totsi, and you know, like she's been building. She's one of those people that have been has been building like her career, and you know, even if she's quiet, she's working, and it's you know, and it's quiet.
Hello, Lanto,
we're proud of you, Terry, and she's currently having a solo trip in France.
Do you know how nice the weather is in France, right?
Yes. It is very
Yo,
nice.
June, July is like, June, July is the best.
Mm. But anyway, that's full round of applause to all our Woo-hoo! Girls who are representing. Yes. Shama Josie, Mini Jamini, and Terry Peto. Okay, now going off to another topic that I thought, would like to talk about. I actually, it's so funny because when I was doing research for this segment, I had just watched a particular series that actually had this storyline. It was it's called Looking. It's a gay series.
Where is it? Where do you watch it?
It's on Shomi.
Why wouldn't I watch a gay series?
No, I'm just saying.
I don't mind watching boys.
Of course you wouldn't.
Okay, we're about to get into it then. So, Jada Pinkett was on RTT, the Red Table Talk, and she happened to discuss.
Of course
she
was there.
Yeah, exactly, of course, yeah. It's her summer song. But she was discussing threesomes and her experience.
Was Willow there?
Yes. Wow. Willow and the mother. And so she was discussing and she was saying that, you know, she had an experience in her 20s, which I don't believe. I think she probably had it
much later.
Not really much later. I think she's had a few. If you believe the gossips between about her and Will Smith. But she said that she realized that it wasn't for her. She really didn't feel comfortable because it felt like it was just there was a disconnect with the other person and her. That's basically what she was alluding to. And she was saying that for her it would work if she was in love with two people.
With the two people that she's engaged
aging in a threesome with, and that actually raised eyebrows for me because for me, it's always the other way around, you know. It's like but I've never experienced one.
I always
think of it the other way around. Is that if I had to have a threesome when I'm in a relationship, I would have it somewhere where nobody knows us, we don't know this person, we've never met them, we're not going to interact with them.
Okay,
then it's just like, you know, an experience, then you discard that.
Okay.
And then for me, then it's the whole
Now you must be attached to the other person.
That means that it's actually like a relationship, which is quite interesting. So, what do you guys think? What are your thoughts on this question, on this topic?
I don't have any thoughts.
Kidding. But this is very Jada. This topic is very Jada, especially when you've watched the Red Table Talk.
Yes.
And then the mom, when I read about it, the mom said something like, "No, it was just an experience."
Yes.
But that's what I would think it is.
Is she sure though? It's an experience. Is she really sure that it's an experience?
I don't know. I don't think the mother is that sure. I think she just wanted not for them to dwell on the topic.
What did Willow say? Exactly. I'm curious as to what Willow said.
Well, Willow didn't say much actually, but then you know what kicks me about Willow. Willow always agrees. Exactly.
She's there for the guy. She's there for the side comment. She hasn't lived long enough to actually have a say on a lot of the topics.
You know what's interesting is that people were actually dragging her the other time when Ciara came and she was expressing how, you know, when you've been like hurt and by a baby daddy, and Willow is agreeing and she's like feeling it. And they're like, child.
So I don't know. Jada is Jada. I don't know.
Couples are special.
Yeah. It takes I don't know.
Okay. Let's stay away from Jada. Personally, like, is this your? I think you're trying to dance around thinking about this. Is it?
But how is it possible that you have two people that you are in love with at the same time and they both want to do it with you at the same time?
Yeah.
How likely? What are the chances? Exactly. I don't know. Because usually, if I really think of it the way you think of it, like you do it with someone that you wouldn't know. Whatever. But I was actually listening to Angela Yee, you know Angela Yee's podcast, Breakfast Lip Love, Service, because they talk about a lot of sexual stuff, and there was a girl. This girl says that she's friends with this guy, and this guy has a girlfriend, right?
Yes.
So she has been with this guy in there, because the guy stays with the girlfriend. She's been with him.
Yeah.
And then the guy and the girlfriend invited her for a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
But in that threesome, the guy didn't... Guys, I'm so uncomfortable talking about this when we just talked about office politics. But anyway, it was a weird thing. So I just think, it should be, I assume it's very difficult if you are
in a relationship with those people. Because I feel like you have to face them if you see each other every day. But different strokes for different folks.
Mm,
like in my personal thing, like I'm way too jealous of a threesome. I think it's not for me. Yeah, I think I'm not. I don't know if it's like an insecurity.
You think maybe they like the other person more than they like you.
Exactly. Like, I don't think I could stomach that. And that's what, like, goes back to that series that I was thinking about.
There's a series that I'm watching or that I watched where this gay couple, actually, the boyfriend... it's a show. I actually like the show. What is it? So the boyfriend, they live together, né? This couple. And then the boyfriend went to a bar and then met this other guy who's like a dancer. And then he liked the guy. He was attracted to the guy.
Yeah.
And then he went home and he told his boyfriend about it. And then they went to the bar and then they saw him. And the boyfriend was like, okay, we can invite him.
Yeah.
And then they came, the guy came and they had their whatever fun. And he was like, you don't mind? He was like, no, I don't mind. You know, he was just that confident in their relationship.
Exactly.
And he was like, no, you enjoy this, so let's do it. Mm-hmm. And he even, like, in the morning after their boyfriend, the one who said, okay, let's go and check him out, he left them there and went to work. And this boyfriend is like, how? Are you leaving me at home with this guy? He's like, just do your thing. And he left.
Wow.
So it's just about how confident you are in that relationship and knowing that we're just doing this for the experience.
No. Yeah. No, guys.
What show is this? It's one of these shows that I just watched recently.
I'm good. I wouldn't even trust somebody to, like, drive a long distance relationship with somebody that I'm like, I know what's going to happen by the time you get
today.
To Durban.
Anyway,
tell us what you think about Jada's thoughts on threesomes. I actually would like to hear what your thoughts are, guys. So please, you always say you like tea time, hashtag The Office Podcast, and tell us what you think. And also don't forget to tell us about your thoughts on also our office politics topic around social media and your career and what you shouldn't be doing or what you are doing or what you should do, right?
Yes.
Anyway, thank you, Lele.
Sorry, the show that I was thinking of is What If on Netflix.
Oh, I actually got, yeah, I'm actually, it's What If. Apparently it's really good, so I'm actually going to watch that.
It is good up until episode really 8 and then the last 2.
That's what everybody said.
Yeah.
Damn.
Anyway,
okay.
Thank you guys. I think that's it for The Office Podcast this week. It's been a really great conversation. Yeah. Lyleton even forced us to talk about sex. Sorry for anyone we've offended. But Oksalayo, in reality.
Oksalayo, our views are our own.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, so thank you guys. We'll chat to you on social media. Thanks for all the feedback. Hashtag The Office Podcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.